lives. Chapter 2. I marveled at how so much noise could make me feel like I was enjoying a quiet morning. The hot sun beat down on me as I lay on a deck chair in my swim trunks, doing absolutely nothing. The water of the ocean roared as the cruise ship I was on cut through it. The people nearby chatted on endlessly about this and that, and I felt the most peaceful I had in quite some time. My breathing was even more relaxed as I enjoyed the scent of salt in the air. I lay with my eyes closed behind my sunglasses and thought lazily that I should apply a bit more sunscreen to my bare chest and legs. Or, I should say, ask one of the girls to do it for me. They were always going on about loving running their hands over my strong chest and defined abs. I slowly opened my eyes, propped myself up on my elbows, and glanced around. One of my companions, Sophie, was lying right next to me on the deck. She was a beautiful, sleek German shepherd. While she was mostly black, there were highlights of brown in her coat, mainly on her legs and chest. Her fur shone like someone had infused it with diamonds, and her deep brown eyes were always alert. Sophie had a secret that had changed my world a year prior, however. She wasn't just any beautiful dog. She was a shapeshifter. When in her human form, I called her Sam, and she was like a ghost. She could go anywhere, and no one would recognize her. Noticed for her luscious curves, tan skin, and double D breasts? Yes. Recognized as being a resident where we lived? No. Sophie did prefer her canine form, however, as she didn't have to deal with the bullshit niceties of interacting as a human. People don't care, and they don't edit themselves when a dog is present, but they certainly do when a gorgeous raven-haired beauty is. She had entered my life when I went to a pet shop to buy a turtle. That was the same day the course of my entire existence and hers changed forever. She taught me to believe in the impossible, and together with a few other key individuals, we learned that we were rather genius at solving the most unsolvable of mysteries. Anyhow, at that moment, Sophie wouldn't be of any help with my sunscreen needs as she lay panting in the sun. I looked off the other direction and saw another of my shipmates, Veda. Veda and Sophie couldn't be more opposite of each other. While Sophie dripped sex whenever she was in her human form, Veda was a buttoned-up, bona fide nerd girl. That is not to say that she wasn't a stunning beauty. She just hid it very well. She was very petite, with an amazing ass and dark hair that brought out her amber-brown eyes. Other than her absolutely off-the-scale genius for logical thinking, one of the things I loved about her most was the kinky side of her nature that she kept very well hidden. When she let herself relax for a bit and we had time alone, she had me do things to her you'd never imagine. When it came to lustful pain and role-playing, in her eyes, the more, the better. At that specific moment, however, she was her typical nerdy self. Even the bathing suit she had on was a modest orange one-piece that showed the bare minimum of her generous curves. I smiled to myself, content in my knowledge of her secrets. Picking up my sunscreen bottle, I tossed it in her direction. It landed on her lounger and slid to her side. She sat up like she'd been poked with a burning stick, yanked her sunglasses off, and whipped her head side to side to find out what had touched her. When she spied the bottle, she looked over at me and wrinkled up her nose. Could have just yelled. I know, but watching you freak out is more fun, I laughed. Would you mind helping me? Veda grabbed the lotion and came to my side, sitting next to me. I should leave patches dry to burn little shapes on your chest, she snarked. How about I do that to you instead? I whispered in her ear. And then I can flick those spots while I shove myself deep inside you and slap your ass. Her nipples hardened and showed through her bathing suit immediately. I sat up and got within inches of her, glancing around to make sure I blocked her breasts from view and pinched one of her nipples hard between my fingers. Her hand slapped down on my leg and her nails dug into my skin. Fuck you, Steven, she said, but I could hear the desire in her voice. No, I purred into her ear. I want to fuck you. Hard. Veda pushed me away and stood up. She bent over and whispered, "If you aren't in the main hall bathroom in 45 seconds with your cock pounding the back of my throat while you're pulling my hair, I'm going to make you regret it." I didn't even waste a split second jumping out of my chair. Partly because my body had immediately reacted to the image she painted, but mostly because her simple words had created anticipation I wasn't willing to put off. I walked away and headed straight to the main floor hall bathroom without even bothering to look back at her. When I reached the restroom door, I'd no more than entered and had time to glance through the stalls to ensure I was alone before she burst through the door. She flipped the lock behind her, and I met her in the center of the room, in front of the row of sinks. Veda dropped to her knees in front of the cabinets below the sinks. As she did, she expertly pulled my swim trunks down with her, releasing my throbbing member. She was making zero room for foreplay as she stretched her mouth over my massive girth, slid her lips down my shaft, and buried my cock deep in the back of her throat. I grabbed her hair and yanked, making her groan in pleasure as she sucked her lips down my shaft. She was at the head when I pulled her hair, forcing my dick into her throat again. She reached up, wrapped her hands around my low back, and dug her nails into my skin. I knew she'd drawn blood, and the pain made the sensation of her mouth on me even more. I pulled her mouth on and off me, yanking her hair harder with each movement. Her lust for me was as much a turn-on as her hot tongue dancing around my cock. I felt myself mounting with increasing speed, but I wanted to make her scream before I came. With one hard pull, I yanked her mouth off me. She glared up at me, ready to protest, but I clapped my hand over her mouth. I took her by the shoulders, pulled her up to her feet, and spun her around. Slapping her soft ass hard enough to leave a good handprint, I lifted her again until she was on the counter, on her knees, and she had to brace herself against the mirror while I all but ripped her suit off her. Then I climbed up behind her, dipped down until the head of my enormous cock was at her dripping wet opening, and made one hard, fast thrust up into her. Her face pushed into the mirror as I slammed into her, the power of it lifting her knees off the counter. "Again!" she screamed in ecstasy, making the pressure build in my loin. I slapped her ass as I came back down, and then repeated the move even harder the second time. "Oh, you're going to get it again." Her hands flew back to claw my legs as she threw her head back, screaming, "Harder! I'll give it to you so hard you can't handle it," I growled as I thrust again. I knew she was truly craving the pain because I could feel her pussy moisten and clench down on me. It was clear I didn't have long, so I sped up, pounding her mercilessly over and over. The moment her orgasm hit, mine did too, and I exploded inside her with a violent thrust, lifting her so that the only thing holding her up was my cock and the mirror. The power of my release made my vision go blurry and my arms tingle. My fluid pumped into her as the contracting of her folds sucked it out. I pulsed up and down, keeping her ass in the air while she screamed, "Deeper, Stephen! Deeper!" over and over. When I felt my last shot of cum flow into her, I grabbed her hips and pushed the full length of me into her. I was not a small man and was always careful not to go too far, but if she wanted it, I was going to give it to her. I buried my cock completely inside her, quickly reaching her limits. "Fuck!" she screamed, the pleasure nearly too much for her. She held her breath and enjoyed the waves of her orgasm made even more intense by the pain. When she let her breath out, I knew she was spent, as was I. We stayed still, my groin holding her in the air for several minutes while we both caught our breath and enjoyed the aftershocks of our orgasms. Then I slowly set her down, pulled out of her, and climbed off the counter. I helped her down, picked her swimsuit off the floor, and handed it to her. "And we haven't been gone long enough for anyone to get too curious about our whereabouts," I said, grinning at her while I enjoyed the sight of her naked body and full breasts. "I don't know why they would be curious," Veda giggled mischievously. "I just needed to go put some sunscreen on and didn't want to expose too much up on deck." You'd sure as fuck better let me know each time you need to apply sunscreen, I told her, already looking forward to the next time I could make her scream.
If you're lucky, and a bad enough boy, she replied with a wink.
We left the bathroom, both relaxed and ready to get back to our busy day of doing nothing. We quickly found out that we were wrong about nobody noticing we were gone. By the time we returned to the deck, Sophie and the two other women in my life were waiting for us at my lounge chair.
Where did you two get off to?
Delaney asked. Delaney was a brilliant woman, yet often mistaken for a ditz. Her features were dainty, like that of a beauty queen, and her red-brown hair and sparkling brown eyes completed the look. That's what disarmed most people, and Delaney knew how to use that to her advantage. Sunscreen, I replied without pausing. You know how Veda doesn't like pulling down her straps in public. What are you all doing here? The second woman, Freya, grinned and rolled her beautiful dark eyes knowingly as she tossed back her golden blonde hair. She had opened a travel agency on our home island of Shalorna not too long ago.
Yeah, I just hate needing help with sunscreen.
I know for a fact that you don't, I retorted, laughing.
So, what's up?
Freya held up her phone.
I just got a call from Detective Irving.
I took a seat on the one spot of the lounger left open.
Oh, we haven't heard from him in a while. What did he need?
Remember I told you about the cruise liner that came into harbor yesterday?
Freya asked. She made sure her assistant kept her continuously updated about all things tourist-related, even when on vacation.
Yeah, you mentioned it at dinner last night, I replied, finding my sunglasses and putting them back on.
There's something a bit off with it, I guess. Irving said they hadn't been able to make contact with anyone inside the ship. They took a boat out to look into things because nobody was seen on deck either. Apparently, there is a strange smell surrounding the ship as well, Freya reported. He's thinking it may be something he could use our help with.
My mind drifted back to the last time we'd helped Irving. Shalorna had a rash of unexplained, brutal murders that he couldn't make sense of. The bodies had been cut apart and sewn back together, often with parts belonging to other people or with materials that had no business being in a human body. Fortunately, the girls and I managed to unravel the mystery and get to the bottom of the insane murders.
Hopefully he understands that we are out to see ourselves, I laughed.
The girls laughed.
Yeah, Freya said. He knows we are on vacation, but he also knows we'll be back to Shalorna in less than 24 hours.
I rolled my eyes and tipped my head back, feeling the sun on my face.
I suppose your assistant let the details slip?
Delaney tossed her hair over her shoulder and giggled.
No, of course not. That kid knows Freya would skewer him if he gave out our confidential information. Freya told Irving herself.
Meh, that actually makes more sense, I replied, happy her assistant wasn't stupid. Sophie lifted her head off the deck and nudged me with her nose. That was another thing about her. We could communicate telepathically when she was in her canine form.
What does Irving want us to do about a ship they haven't even gone into yet?
I looked over at Freya.
Soph wants to know what Irving thinks we can do.
Not sure yet, Freya shrugged her shoulders. I think just the fact that there's something abnormal about the whole situation makes him think of us.
She was 100% correct. After the five of us had randomly ended up together to investigate a brutal animal attack type murder in order to save a young guy from being wrongly accused, we'd become the crew that could solve the unsolvable. Everything about my life had changed since then, including my career. That thought brought me back to the present.
I'll need to update my readers before we get back in that case, I told the girls.
My readers were subscribers to a blog I ran that discussed the various adventures the girls and I found ourselves wrapped up in. It had morphed into a true crime meets the unexplainable type thing. My fans were loyal, fanatic, and paid me a shit ton of money. Veda walked around my chair and headed back to her own.
You do your writing. I'm not leaving this deck until the very last possible moment.
Freya and Delaney laughed. They stood up
and I stretched my legs out to take up the space they'd been sitting. Freya looked down and slowly shook her head.
"You go canoodle with your readers," she said. "I'm going to go talk the captain into giving me an exclusive tour before we dock."
"And I'm going to grab some last-minute spa services," Delaney added. "A cold stone massage in the sunlight sounds heavenly right now."
The three of us looked down at Sophie, who had laid her head back down on her paws. She barely moved her eyes to look back at us.
"I'm going to do exactly what I'm doing," she said to my mind.
I laughed. "She's staying right where she is. We'll see you for dinner." Freya and Delaney wandered off, and I relaxed back in my chair, just in time for something to land on my stomach with a hard thump. Looking down, I saw a bottle of sunscreen. I rolled my head to the side to look at Veda.
"Looks like we failed at the application of sunscreen," I quipped.
"Aren't vacationing people supposed to get a little sunburnt anyway?" She grinned and turned her head towards the sun.
"I'll explain the science of the damage sun does to skin cells later. Right now, I'm taking a nap."
I laughed to myself as I settled back in my chair. Soon, the silence of the surrounding noise flooded over me, and my entire body relaxed. I hadn't planned on falling asleep, but my exertions with Veda and the bliss of being temporarily free of responsibility overtook me, and I drifted off. When I woke, the sun was more to the side of me than over me. I sat up and looked down at my chest. It had turned a nice bright shade of pink, but not too red. I shrugged my shoulders to myself and swung my feet over the edge of the chair, putting them down right next to Sophie. She was already sitting up, gazing out at the soon-to-be-setting sun.
"It's beautiful, but I miss home," she said to my mind.
"I do too," I replied, realizing it for the first time. "I'm also starving. Do you know if we missed dinner?"
Sophie rolled her eyes and snorted.
"Like I would let you miss dinner."
I looked behind us. Veda was already gone off somewhere.
"Good. Let's fix this rumbling in my stomach."
Sophie and I made our way back to the cabin suite that the five of us were sharing. I opened the door to see Freya, Delaney, and Veda putting the finishing touches on their dinner outfits.
"No way you are going to leave us up there to starve," I said, feigning offense.
"Yeah, right," Veda giggled. "Your stomach is better than any alarm clock. We knew you wouldn't miss dinner."
Freya smiled.
"Same with Sophie."
Shrugging, I laughed. They weren't wrong. That was one thing Sophie and I had in common. We loved to eat. I made quick work of a shower, then got dressed while Sophie morphed into her human form. When she came out of the bedroom to the rest of us waiting, her tall, tan figure was wrapped in an off-white, shimmering, floor-length dress. Delaney clapped her hands together and gasped.
"That is absolutely stunning on you, Sophie." "Thank you," she replied. "Remember, it's Sam, though." "You don't have to remind me every time you are a human," Delaney laughed. "I've been calling human you, Sam, for quite some time now." "Habit," Sophie replied. "What is on the menu for dinner?"
Freya headed for the door while the rest of us followed.
"I'm not sure what they are serving, but they will be serving it to us at the captain's table."
"Really?" Veda asked. "When did we get sat at the captain's table?"
Freya grinned.
"When my insistence that he give me a tour himself impressed him. Then, of course, he'd expected me to be a clueless tourist. So when he learned I actually had some knowledge of cruise liners, he was quick with the invite."
"Well done," Veda told her. "I'd love to get some insight into the nautical training he had to undergo to become a captain."
Delaney shook her head and smiled at Veda.
"Of course you would. The rest of us are looking forward to tales of adventure, and you want the underpinnings of driving a boat."
"What can I say?"
Veda shrugged, not acknowledging the sarcasm in Delaney's voice.
"I like the interesting stuff."
Delaney wrapped her arm around Veda's shoulders as we walked out of the room and into the corridor.
"That's what I mean, darling."